change the enter.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to talk to you this afternoon. I've been a member of this section of APHA for some time, but I think this is probably my first official presentation to you, so thank you for the opportunity. Oh, wrong way. Oh, no, it wasn't. I have to declare no commercial relationships. But if any of you have any suggestions? No. I'm suggesting that health promotion in the prisons or correctional setting is probably the most challenging for health promotion. And, of course, if we had time, you could argue with me on this. Prisons ignore what really is the fundamentals of health promotion, in my mind, the autonomy, the choice, space, healthy environment. You don't get much of that in the prison. Prisons also contain a particularly difficult population. They are hard to reach. They're from the most disadvantaged part of society. They are inadequate in terms of educational and social skills attainments. But on the other hand, prisons do offer an opportunity to those of us keen in bringing public health and human rights together. Prisons give a fairly unique opportunity and indeed time to do some good with very deserving people. Now, it's 30 years since Alma Ata. I'm not going to spend much time on this slide because you know all this. 1986, and I'm not employed by WHO, I'm an advisor to one of their projects. But in 1986, WHO in Europe took the Ottawa Charter conclusions very enthusiastically and started a very exciting development of settings approach to health promotion. And healthy cities, health-promoting schools, health-promoting universities, you name it, all sorts of networks have emerged. Now, I've made a mistake on this slide because it does imply that in 1992, WHO did this first survey. In fact, it was nothing to do with WHO. But it was, in fact, the first survey on prison health with about 28, 30 countries of Europe involved. And two of the conclusions of that study was, look, all of these prison services are facing very similar problems. And secondly, there is no way for them to learn from each other. And partly stimulated by the settings approach, partly and quite a lot stimulated by Health for All, in 1995, WHO in Europe launched the Health and Prisons Project. I don't know how many of you looked at the WHO update in 2005. I find it really quite an interesting document. As you know, target setting was not very successful. And so WHO in 2005 went to a different approach, trying to provide decision makers with tools necessary to set their own targets to meet their own goals. Values-based and values-driven, and taking very much the core values of Health 21, health as a fundamental human right, equity in health, and solidarity in action, participating and accountability, priority to the poor and the most deserving. Now, the Health and Prisons Project started off slowly, sedately, in London with eight countries. But at that meeting, there was a determination that prisons should be seen as a suitable place for health promotion. And indeed, the project has grown considerably since then, with now the majority of countries of Europe involved. Now, the structure of the project has gone for sustainability. In other words, we, again, you can argue as to how change is introduced, but with a public service direct, usually very much under the control of governments, we thought we should go for policy makers. And so the people who come to our meetings are mostly representative senior people, usually in the Ministry of Justice, maybe if we're lucky in the Ministry of Health, or even more luck, you know, that the two talk together. Anyway, these are senior people who can talk policy. And from that, we use their expertise, we use their experience, we call in experts, and we set up our ambition is to provide consensus advice on principles, policies and practices to reduce, at the simplest, to reduce the harm from imprisonment, at the best, to promote health. All the countries had the same problems. I mentioned them here. I haven't given you the article reference, but you will get it from the WHO site. If you have not looked at that site, I certainly suggest you do, because there are all sorts of interesting documents on there. This is a list of some of the things that our network has produced. Our current, I should mention the Health and Prisons Guide, which is quite an extensive guide to the essentials in prison health. Trenchant Statement on Prisons and Mental Health just shows the challenge that we face. And we're rapidly finishing our work on prisons and women's health. And we hope that instead of a statement which is firm enough, we can persuade WHO to issue a declaration, because we think the present situation is really just not acceptable. And I'm talking about the whole of virtually the whole of Europe. Well, progress has been made. My colleague Paul Hayton, very much working with us in the project, he managed to get the UK government to give a prison, England and Wales, to give a prison service order. Prison service order are things that the governors of prisons must do. Now, I've been told off in the past for using the word must too often, but on this occasion, it is an appropriate word to use. And the areas in which they must consider what they are going to do and introduce them into local planning mechanisms, the five subjects are listed there. And I thought I would also give, oh, by the way, an account of Paul's, of what had been going on in England, is in the 2007 Guide to the Essentials in Prison Health. In Germany, they've taken a slightly different approach, really taking the point that in the reality of prison world, this pressures on staff are considerable, and sickness absence, and so on. So they have taken the line of health promotion for staff, participative approaches to staff health promotion, in the idea that if you have healthy staff, they can then health promote at the prison, and you get healthy people in a healthy business. I want to just give two particularly difficult challenges. Mental health promotion in prisons. Now, many of you may well say that's an oxymoron, it's a contradiction in terms. In fact, there is no doubt at all that prisons with few resources could make a tremendous difference to the ethos of the prison, to particularly it will protect the mental health, if not promote mental health, but at least to reduce the harm done by in imprisonment. In a document we issued as long ago as 1998, and we'd be delighted if anybody would give a very critical resume and some such suggestions to it, because we think it needs updating. In that document, we had a checklist for managers, and I think we're quite keen on trying to put across our messages through checklists. The other thing that's been going on in England and certainly in many parts of the United States of America is introducing smoke-free premises, smoke-free prison. There are difficulties in getting smoke-free prisons, but nevertheless, experience in England, experience in Scotland show that real progress has been made, and the anticipated reaction of prisoners and the difficulty from prisoners was very much less than anticipated. Some conclusions: the majority of countries in Europe now accept that public health needs good prison health. Few countries, despite that, in Europe provide equivalent standards. I'm suggesting that we really should, through health promotion, take the idea that health for all means health for all, and that we don't have an undeserving section of our population outside our remit. Public health can take a lead in this by just really applying the public health principles that we know so well in a rights-based approach to those who, all right, maybe entirely their own reasons, let's forget the reasons, but they are at the margins of society. And in conclusion, I should say that I've been talking on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Lars Muller, who is in the audience. Paul Hayton is not, but between the three of us, we would be most interested to hear from any of you, and I would suggest that a section as large as yours might consider for a year or two having a special interest group in health promotion for the marginalised, and we would be delighted from in Europe to link in with you. Thank you.
Elizabeth.